I want to get right into our message today. And like I said, I did have some video clips, obviously. Of course, I had video clips today, of course. But I want to get right into our message today. We are in a series called Worthy right now as a church. Our entire series this month is called Worthy, culminating to Christmas Eve, which if you have not invited people yet for Christmas Eve, we have Christmas Eve invite cards out there. This service is going to be beautiful. We're doing something a little bit different this year. We're really excited about that. Our kiddos are going to be on stage like always, but we have a little different feel this year. So if you haven't invited people, invite some friends for Christmas Eve. But we are doing this entire series is called Worthy. And we're talking about the nature of our God and how worthy he is to be praised. And during this season, especially focusing on that and how we as Christians, sometimes we get so busy, especially during this time of the year, that we forget to stop and remember why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. And I am not a Christmas fan. I know that some of you are like, what? How could you not be? I am not. Christmas is not my favorite holiday. I'm a Thanksgiving girl. Thanksgiving is my holiday. Yes. I love it because it's about people. It's not about stuff. So I'm always, it's funny when Richie asked me to preach for, you know, Christmas time, because I'm like, well, I'm saying nobody needs to get anybody anything, okay? Just need to love people and serve, you know. But anyway, So I'm excited about that. But last week, Richie talked about God being worthy, and he really equated it to God giving us his best when he gave us Jesus. And that was the very best thing that he could have given us. That was his best gift to us, because Jesus brought salvation for us. And he's worthy to be praised. And last week, I loved it because I wasn't here, but I did hear his message when I was running this week. I was running and listening to his message, and I was bawling my eyes out while I'm running. I was like, yes, babe, it's so true, you know. But really, he said something in there that was so key and so pivotal for me. He said, I didn't really understand truly the love of God until I had my kids. Oh, every parent in the room has to hear that, because it's so true. And those of you who don't have kids, or you're planning on having kids one day, know that the love of God takes on a whole new facet. When you hold that baby in your hand, you're like, I will literally kill someone who looks at my kid wrong. You know what I mean? It's immediate. You can't even conjure it up. But it's so true. And then all of a sudden you start to understand more about what God would do for you. How he pursued you, how he pursued your heart. The Bible says when you were afar off, he ran towards you. That's huge. As a parent, that's exactly what we want. And so I loved how he kind of brought it around to that last week. And so this week, I have this thought in my mind. Again, I was running this week and trying to get into the Christmas spirit, because again, it's not my holiday. So, you know, trying to get into the Christmas spirit, I was really just studying and praying, and I was running to Christmas music, which I don't normally do, but running to Christmas music, and Mary Did You Know came on. And I love this song. I love it. But I will tell you something. It took on a new facet for me that morning. And I think it was because the Lord really wanted me to hear something different in that song. And I really loved, and I did some research, and again, I had a video clip to show you guys today. The writer of that song actually said he had written that whole song for a play that he was doing at church. They had asked him to do a play at church. And so he wrote what was the lyrics to that. He wrote it for a play at church. And he said, it was so interesting because after we finished the play, I kept thinking, like, I really think this is a song. And he said, so he sat down, and he and another songwriter, they sat down and they put the words and the music together. And he said, it's 30 years now that song has been in circulation, and how that song has taken on such a beautiful nature. But there was something so key when I was running the other morning, or a few mornings ago, when I was listening to that song, and I was thinking, these questions are like from the future. Mary, did you know? And I was thinking about my own life, and I'm like, Misty, did you know? Like, what would my life look like if I asked questions in reverse, under the premise of giving me faith for the future? And so I love the idea of that. And so for today, I want to give you some questions, looking back, not staying stuck, but we're going to look back so that we can have faith for the future. And so the first thing is that I want to do is I want to read, and I'm sorry that we don't have the scriptures on the board for you guys today. But if you have a device or if you have something that you want to, you know, open up, or a Bible, if you can see it in here, again, it's dark as heck because Richie likes it dark in here. So it's dark in here, but if you have your phone, open up your phone to Luke 1:26, and we're going to read through 38. 38. And it says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman of the Lord." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid," the angel of the Lord told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of the Lord will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. The first question I want us to ask today, and write down, jot these questions down, is, did you know that you could be favored by God? Did you know that you could be favored by God? Verse 28, the angel said, "Greetings, favored woman." And then in verse 30, "For you have found favor with God." Let me tell you something. A lot of us pray for favor, but are we willing to put in the work that's required for favor? Because it's a two-step process. We have to have faith and works. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So we have to have faith and works in operation if we're going to be favored. We also have to be hearers and doers of the word. That means I can't just hear it and then pray about it. I have to be hearers, and then I have to put my life in order in such a way that I value the word of God. That means if God said, "Hey, I don't want you to do that," then I don't do it. Not, I see how much I can get away with without somebody calling me out. It means I live in such a way that I am hearing and doing the word of God. The next thing is humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. I want to sit on this for a second. The reason why I chose humility and obedience is because think about how humble she was in this moment where she could have said, "Hey, listen, angel, Gabriel, you know, thank you for favoring me. I appreciate it. God is faithful. He's awesome. But really what I would love is if we could just wait until Joseph and I are married, because it's my reputation on the line." And I wonder in this room, how many of us live in such a way where we say, "Lord, I'll do that, but just let me do it in my timing because it's my reputation on the line." And God is saying to us today in the house that if you're willing to sacrifice your reputation for just a second for his sake, he'll honor you. He'll honor you. We are still talking about this woman 2,000 years later because she was willing to put her reputation on the line for God. And how many of us in this room have said yes to some stuff and we have seen God? If you look back over his faithfulness, if you look back on his favor over your life, it was because you said yes in a season that did not make sense. It was because you were willing to say, "Okay, that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to step into it because you've told me to do it." I want you to think about that, church. Your reputation is not as important as your obedience. It's not. It's not. The second question is this: do you know what that waiting do you know that waiting requires action? Waiting requires action. Do you know? Missy, do you know that waiting requires action? Mary, in her waiting or carrying season, I put it like this, in her waiting or carrying season, had two imperative things that she did during this season. The first one is that she got around someone else pregnant with purpose. And the second thing is that she worshiped. Listen to this. In Luke 1:39 through 45, and then we're going to drop down to verse 56, it says this, A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." In verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own town. Pregnant with purpose. Both of these women were pregnant at the same time. Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. How many of you remember the story of Elizabeth? The woman was in her old age, the Bible says. In her old age, she was called by God and equipped to have a baby, okay? So you have a woman who's, the Bible says, for 5 months, she hid herself in her house. For 5 months. And then all of a sudden, Mary gets a word from the Lord. In her first trimester, she travels to see her cousin because there is nothing like somebody else who's going through what you're going through in a season when you're going through something. Being around other believers is imperative. And so for her to travel to her cousin's house and for her to knock on that door, and the Bible says that Elizabeth all of a sudden got a kick from that baby. We don't know up until that point if she had felt John the Baptist in her tummy. We don't know. But in that moment, not only was he filled, but she was filled with the Holy Spirit. There is something about being around other believers in our season that causes our spirits to get a kick. And for some of you in here, that's the very thing that's missing in your life. God has deposited something inside of you. He has given you that seed. He has put it inside of you. But instead, you are letting your pregnancy hormones dictate what you should be doing in this season. I'm tired. My feet hurt. I'm sad. I don't see it coming into fruition like I wanted it to. God gave me this seed and he put this desire in my heart, but I'm not seeing it happen like I want it to happen. I'm telling you, there is something about getting around a church of believers, a body of people, a group of individuals who have the faith and the tenacity to go after God, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. You are not barren, you just haven't gotten a kick yet. You are not barren, you just haven't gotten a kick yet. It's still there. It's still in you. God is still moving on your behalf. He's just asking you, stay in it. Get around other believers. The second thing that she did in that season, in that waiting season, is that she worshiped God. There's a whole long paragraph of her song of worship to the Lord. There are some of you in here that instead of worshiping upward, you're worshiping outward in your trying season. You're looking around other people. Someone help me. Someone pray with me. Someone, you know, encourage me. And here, God is saying right here, it's me and you. We got to worship. We got to stop focusing on the problem or what we don't have and focus on the maker and our king during this season. Really and truthfully, because going into 2023, God has so much for you. I want you to think about what you think 2023 is going to look like, and then I want you to kick it up a notch, because that's really what God has for you. See, we want to believe him at this level. Lord, I'm believing you because this is what I can see. And God said, you have no idea. I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. I have more for you than you could ever even imagine, but you settle at this level. Why? Why do we settle here when this is what he's called us to? You know why? Because this level of faith requires a lot more from us. And there are some of us in here who are like, I'm tired. I'm tired of believing God. I'm tired of believing God that those kids are going to come back. If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. And God's saying, that's the time when I want you to dig in harder. That's the time when I want you to fast more. That's the time when I want you to pray more. Because I'm telling you, they're on a short rope. They're not getting very far. But if you could just dig in and pray during those seasons, I'm telling you, God's going to stir your faith and encourage you and give you the hope that you need. I promise you. I've seen it so many times in my life and in our church's life. People healed of cancer who were like, hey, can you just help us pray? Yes. We get around them, pray. All of a sudden, hey, we got a good report. No cancer. That's it right there. That's it. And why? Why do we hear about like, oh, the missions trip went to, you know, Ecuador and Alicia, Richie passed out on Alicia, you know, and we hear these stories, we read them in Richie's book, but then why don't we see those miracles here in the U.S.? Why not? Because what happens on those missions trips? What are we seeing on those missions? We're seeing people travel miles for someone to pray for them. We're seeing faith like you can never believe. We're seeing people hungry for a move of God, for a touch of God. And in that moment, it's like supercharged. Why do we settle for church as usual? Why do we settle for, I'm going to go in, they're going to sing three songs. If they sing a fourth, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and then I'm going to come back in. I'm going to wait till that song's over. Why do we do that? Why? Why don't we have the type of faith that says every Sunday, if someone's sick, we need to lay hands on them, they need to get healed? Because that's what God's called us to do. That's what he's called us to do. Or strengthen each other, encourage each other, uplift each other. The third thing is this. Do you know that your inconvenience is part of something bigger? We say this all the time. We are part of something bigger. It's the very first thing you see when you come in our church. You know why? Because this is not about me. It's about we. That's what it's about. And I want you to listen to this for just one quick second. Luke 2:1-7 says this. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, God's ancient home. Or I'm sorry, David's ancient home, not God's. Silly. David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who now was great with expectation with child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. The third question I have for you is this. Did you know that your inconvenience is part of something bigger? Inconvenience. Inconvenient. It's super inconvenient for Quirinius to take a census when Mary is great with child. And if God, knowing all things, why would he allow that at that season of time? God, why, I'm sure Mary said, would you allow this to happen while I'm trying to give birth and do what you've called me to do? This is a huge inconvenience. To travel 70 miles pregnant on a donkey, camping in the desert. That right there. Y'all, that right there. I'm sure God looked down and he was like, man, we got to find a woman who can handle pregnant in the desert in a camp. Who is it? The angel's probably like, the only one we got is Mary. Maybe? I don't know. Right? No. Seriously. Can I tell on myself for a second? When I was pregnant, there's no way. I'm glad he didn't call me because there's no way. When I was pregnant, I had this like huge body pillow, right? It looked like a horseshoe. Anybody have one of these? It was massive. It looks like a worm, okay? It was massive pillow, okay? And it had to be at nighttime. I would lay on my side. I was so huge. And Richie would have to tuck the pillow in my back, in between my legs, right? I had to tuck it in between my legs. And then I would be like, the air had to be dropped down to like 60 degrees, right? He woke up every day with a sinus infection. It was fine. And I'm like, I was so miserable, right? Because when you get that big, you're just like, I'm done. Like, my feet look like Nutty Professor. I'm like, I can't. So I can't imagine what this woman traveling during that time, and then for them to get there and for her to go into labor and have to give birth to the Savior of the world in a barn. I'm sure the very first thoughts that her and Joseph thought is, we failed as parents already. We are not good enough. God, why did you call us? We've already messed up. He just got here. And I think sometimes parents, people in the room, I think we think that way sometimes. Like, God doesn't know that he set up and orchestrated the inconvenience so that we understand we are not in control. He's in control. And so there are things that are going to happen in your life that are like, there is no way. We pitch a fit. We get mad. We get angry. We're like, God, why? You hate me. And God's like, I set it up for you on purpose because I love you, because I need you to understand something in this season, that your inconvenience is part of something bigger. This is not your story. It's his story. History, his story. So when we wrap our mind around that and we look back so that we can have faith for looking forward, we can see that there's been things all along that have happened in our life that are little inconveniences that God used. Those moments where the person at McDonald's, I'm telling you, the weirdest stuff happens to me. I was in college, my first year of college. I was driving to McDonald's and, don't even ask. And I was driving to McDonald's and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to tell that person at the window that I love them. I'm like, am I not doing that? I am not doing that. And do you know I drove past that? Now, I'm 41 years old. That was when I was 17 years old. Do you know I still pray for that guy every day? I still pray for him. You want to know why? Because I was disobedient and I pray all the time. Lord, I pray you sent 50 people who were obedient in that moment for that guy. That's a burden on my heart. Don't live like that. Live in such a way that you're like, okay, Lord, here we go. What have you called me to do? If it's now, if it's 50 years from now, I'm going to be faithful in what you've called me to. If the carrying season is longer than 9 months, I'm going to be okay in the duration of that time. Don't get so caught up in the fact that you don't have what you need right now. God knows what you need for the future. He knows what you need right now. He'll give you what you need when you need it. And if you appreciate every season of your life, I'm telling you, it'll change the way that you live. I wonder if in that moment, Mary and Joseph remembered that 700 years earlier, the prophet Micah said in Micah 2, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, are only a small village among all people in Judea, yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you on my behalf." I wonder if they remembered in that moment that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem because Micah prophesied that. I wonder if they remembered. And I wonder for some of us, do we remember that in those moments, instead of complaining, that we could really have gratitude? In that moment, stop complaining and start praising. Start having gratitude. Do you know that there's a scientific study, and there's tons of proof on this now, that anxiety and gratitude cannot exist in your brain at the same time? They cannot. They cannot. Because the same neurotransmitters that transport the one transport the other. So there is no way. So in those moments when you're like, this is inconvenient, and you want to be negative and you want to be angry, get out a piece of paper and start writing all the good things that God has done in your life. Get out a piece of paper and start journaling. Lord, you were faithful back then. And I saw you heal my grandma. I saw you heal my mom. I know you're going to heal me. It doesn't look good, but I know you're faithful. In those moments when you want to just be negative, if you just flip the script and you just recognize that God is faithful, then you're going to see things faster in your life.